today as we come to the table.
It's one thing to serve the Lord, but do you always do it with a right heart? You know, God's, you know, sometimes walk around the building or the parking lot picking up trash or doing whatever needs to be done, and it's easy to, you know, you can easily grumble. You know, it's like, I didn't throw that cigarette butt down, and who put this here, and what is that? Well, just don't, you know, doesn't it? Hey, just stop doing it. If you're not going to do it for me with a good heart, don't do it. God wants us to serve him, but he wants us to have a skip in our step. I get to pick up cigarette butts. I get to throw paper. It's my honor. I get to vacuum. I get to clean. What a privilege. And here's why. You're laughing as if I'm joking. Here's why. Because if you have the eternal mindset, who gets paid back? You do.
Ever feel like serving the Lord is a chore? Like you're just going through the motions without truly feeling it in your heart? Truth is, as Pastor Mark details in today's message, we are called to serve the Lord with a good heart. It's not enough to just do the right thing. We must do it with the right attitude as well. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In fact, the Bible says that it's not obedient if you do something with a bad heart. So how can you cultivate a heart that's joyful and willing to serve? It starts with prayer and seeking God's will. When you align your heart with God's, you can serve with joy and purpose. You can serve not out of obligation, but out of love for your Savior. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 24, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Notice Eleazar begins his search for a bride with prayer. This is where every search for a bride should begin. Not just us as we wait on God to bring us the one we're to be joined to, but mom and dad. We need to be praying for our kids, as we already mentioned. And then the kids need to be praying, and we all pray together, you know, praying about who they're going to be and what they're going to be and for God to bring the right one along and to be, you know, praying for them. God already sees who it is. And what I love about Eleazar is he's doing it the right way. This is how it should be done when we're joining in marriage, and that is it should begin in prayer. And so again, he's crying out to God saying, God, you've got to lead me in this. And secondly, we should be looking in the right place for a spouse. How many people go out and look in the clubs or look on, you know, whatever, you know, the internet, you know, and search out whatever they can try to find somebody, this kind of thing. And I know there's been some successful marriages on the, I understand that. I know that's happened through the internet options and all that kind of stuff. But I really think instead of eHarmony.com, it should be His Harmony, Be Calm. And waiting on the Lord in prayer. I think that's really how we should approach it. Because I think when we take things in our own hands and set out, it's not always going to end up the way that it should end up. But God knows who is going to be the one for us and who's the right one. And notice where he was looking. He was looking at a place where it was common again for the unmarried daughters. The mothers would send the unmarried virgin daughters out in the morning to gather the water and to bring it back. And again, it wasn't always, you know, the daughters, but for the most part, culturally, they would go and do that. And so he knew by this well, he was going to find someone who was available, who was someone that was pure and was waiting for a husband. And so again, this was a great place to do his fishing, so to speak. But again, now notice how specific his prayer was. And again, I think it's good to be specific in prayer because he wanted to make sure that he had the right one. Now, again, when I talk about being specific in prayer, I think we need to be praying very specifically for you know, the type of bride or husband that we want. But now, don't make the list to be unrealistic. Sometimes I hear people talk about, you know, they have to look this way, they have to be that, whatever, and the guy, you know, all these different things that they list that they have. But understand, if you're creating this high standard for this one that you want, they're going to have just as high standard, and you got to remember, they're going to get you. And so you got to realize, hey, it's going to be sometimes maybe as much out of your league as it is theirs. And so there's nothing wrong in praying for specifically what you want, but you need to be that as well, you know? And so again, we see him being very specific here though. And he says, Lord, you know, let her not only say, let me give you a drink, but let her say, get my camels a drink. I'll get your camels a drink. Now, why would this be such an amazing and bold prayer and very specific to find the kind of woman that he was looking for? Well, anybody can give a drink of water. You know, drink of water, that's easy. But camels, these guys drink water. It's been said they can drink after a desert journey 250 to 300 gallons apiece. And there were 10 of them. This is one girl, one pitcher, and one guy praying, God, let her offer to water the camels. Now, this would be, if you know, it'd be one thing to say, here's a drink, and look at the camels and go, good day, you know, I mean, to walk off. But the kind of woman who would look at the camels and go, can I get your camels a drink? This is a woman of character. This is a woman of depth. This is a woman of quality. This is a woman of servanthood, whom indeed he would be looking for as a bride for his master. Because remember, Isaac was inheriting quite the inheritance. Hundreds of servants, large family. This would need to be a woman who was diligent. This would need to be a woman who was a servant. This would need to be a woman who not only was diligent and a servant, but this would need to be a woman who was willing to do it with the right heart and the right attitude. And notice here in verse 15 what it says. After he prays this prayer, it says, and it happened before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. I love this. Notice, before he was done even praying, God sent Rebekah. And I love those kind of prayers being answered. In Isaiah 65:24, it says that God hears us even before we pray and answers before we even speak. Now, that's exciting to me, because I know sometimes we wait forever, don't we, for a prayer. And yet when it's God's timing, God will move. This was God's timing. And so now we see this. She comes walking up and again immediately, no doubt, grabbed his attention. Because notice verse 16, the young woman was very beautiful to behold. No doubt he wanted to look for a beautiful woman, you know, to please Isaac. And he says she was a virgin and no man had known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher, and she came up. And the servant ran out to meet her and said, please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher. Again, he's starting this test now. The thing he'd prayed for, is this you answering God? So she said, drink, my Lord. And then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand, and she gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Now, bingo. Now, this is where the verse is left out in the Bible that says that Eleazar turned around, pulled his fist down, and said, yes. See, because now he knew this. Listen, this is no ordinary girl. How many girls are going to offer to load hours worth of water, 250 to 300 gallons, for you know, 10 camels? This is a woman of character. This is a woman of quality. This is a woman of servanthood. This is a woman who is selfless and looking out for others. This is the type that my master needs. And again, that would be the one to carry on the heritage that God had promised by the promise of Abraham to the Jewish people and the coming Messiah. This would be, if you will, one of the mothers of the Messiah. And again, so the quality of woman that he was looking for. And so this was a beautiful thing that's happening here. And again, you know, his heart's leaping out of his chest at this point, because the exact prayer he said happened. And when she had finished giving him a drink, verse 20, then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran back to the well of water to draw for his camels. Notice she was not only willing to serve, but she was willing to serve quickly and with a good heart. You know, this is where oftentimes I get challenged. You know, it's one thing to serve the Lord, but do you always do it with a right heart? You know, God's, you know, sometimes walk around, the building or the parking lot, picking up trash or doing whatever needs to be done, and it's easy to, you know, you can easily grumble. You know, it's like, I didn't throw that cigarette butt down, and who put this here, and what is that? Well, just don't, you know, doesn't it? Hey, just stop doing it. If you're not going to do it for me with a good heart, don't do it. God wants us to serve him, but he wants us to have a skip in our step. I get to pick up cigarette butts. I get to throw paper. It's my honor. I get to vacuum. I get to clean. What a privilege. And here's why. You're laughing as if I'm joking. Here's why. Because if you have the eternal mindset, who gets paid back? You do. And do you think you'll get paid a lot more than the work you did? I dare say that his minimum wage is quite high. And I dare say that his bonuses are excellent. The Bible says his rewards are eternal. And so again, when you have the right heart, it's not just serving the Lord, but it's, Lord, what a privilege. What an honor. What a reward that's waiting one day. And so this right heart, here she is skipping down. I can see her just quickly running with this great attitude in her heart, wanting to serve and wanting to be a blessing. And again, his heart, Eleazar, this is great. This is exactly the type of woman that needs to be, you know, the matriarch, so to speak, the leader of the family when Abraham is gone and all this. And so, and now Isaac taking over. And notice it says then in verse 21, and the man was wondering at her. He remained silent so as to know whether the Lord has made his journey prosperous or not. And again, you would think he would know by now. And certainly he felt confident, but there were still some other tests to make because that prayer was specifically answered. But remember, she had to be in the family of Abraham. And so now there still was yet something to discover. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring. Now, don't let that throw you. They wore them back then. Again, we see people wearing them today, don't we? Not nose rings, but again, the nose thing. That was very common back then. And so again, he takes this nose ring to give to her. It was, a sign of beauty. And weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists, weighing 10 shekels. And he said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" Now, he's finding out two things, who her father is, and is there a place for us to stay? Very wise question. So she answered and said to him, "Well, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor." Bingo, the family of Abraham. It's all falling into place. "And moreover," she said to him, "we have both straw and feed enough to room and lodge you." Incredible. Not only did she offer a place to stay, but she's from the family of Abraham. He now knows this is God's hand. This is the confirmation that he was waiting on. And then the man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord, I'll bet. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. And as for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." So the young woman ran and told her mother's household all these things. And Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to meet the man by the well. Now we'll see why he was running. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring. Now notice this. We're going to see that the kindness of Laban that appears to be, wow, what a guy, is simply due to his greed and his covetousness. We're going to see Laban a little bit later on when Jacob goes to serve him, and we're going to see Laban be a real scoundrel with Jacob. And again, Jacob was a scoundrel himself, so the two deserved each other. But God used it to grow them, and God used it to grow Jacob. But now we see this Laban being so kind and excited and running and being Mr. Hospitable simply because he was greedy. And notice he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists. And when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah saying, "Thus says the man, thus the man spoke to me," that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, oh, blessed of the Lord." Boy, doesn't he sound magnanimous. "Why do you stand outside? For I've prepared the house and a place for your camels." Again, all a big show. But again, what Eleazar needed, and he didn't know it was a show at this time. And then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels, and he provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. And food was set before him to eat, but he said, "I will not eat until I have told about my errand." And he said, "Speak on." Now, again, he was too excited. He said, "You've got to hear why I'm here. I can't just sit down and eat a meal. You don't know what God has just done. We've just traveled weeks, over hundreds of miles. God specifically answered this amazing prayer, and it's going to affect you and your family, and I've got to find out what your answer is going to be." And so now he launches into the story. Notice he said, "I'm Abraham's servant." Now that would have, again, perked his ears up. They knew, of course, Abraham, and this is family. "The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold." He really liked that part. "Male and female servants and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him was given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife from my son.' And he said to my master, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.'" Or rather, I said, "Perhaps the woman will not follow me." But he said, "The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way. And you shall take a wife from my son, from my family, and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from the oath. And this day I came to the well, and I said, 'O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink, and she says to me, drink, and I will draw for your camels also, let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son.' But before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, please let me drink. And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give your camels a drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. And then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist, and I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. In other words, if you're not going to do it, let me know. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, well, this thing comes from the Lord. I mean, very obviously, this was a God thing. He said, this thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either good or bad. And that is how it should be when it comes to the one that we are to join with as a lifetime. It should be so evident by the hand of God, there's no question. It's not a matter of, is this the one? It's a matter of, this is the one. Now, how do we do the planning? And so they knew that, and they said, you know what? God's hand is in this. We see answered prayer. We see the move of God. What are we going to say? This is the will of the Lord. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, that he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and he gave them to Rebekah. And he also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. Now, I can tell you, man, if you want your wife to be happy, give them jewelry and clothing. It's what every woman loves. And so he knew what he was doing, didn't he? Winning the heart. But in all seriousness, this was also what was called the bride price. When you were taking a bride, you were expected to pay for that. You were to give money to for the bride and money as well to the family. And so notice he gives to the bride and gives to the family as well. And it says, and he and the men who were with him ate and drank, and they stayed all night. So they were there. They just took their room and they slept there that evening. And then they arose in the morning and said, send me away to my master. No doubt Eliezer was anxious. No doubt Eliezer was excited to go back to Abraham and say, you're not going to believe it. Exactly, the angel of the Lord did come with me, and here's the bride, and let me tell you about the prayer, and what a God thing, and this is just incredible, the excitement in Eliezer's heart. But also, you think about the excitement in Isaac's heart. He wanted to get back so that he could say, Isaac, here's your bride, you know, and Isaac could say, good job, Eliezer, you know, because he knew she was beautiful, and she was a catch, and she was everything, and so he's excited about what's happened here, you know. And so, again, they get up and say, let's get going here. But, you know, I try to imagine what was going through Eliezer's mind that night as he laid down and saying, oh, God, I can't wait to tell them. And, Lord, you're so good, and what a great God you are. But think about Rebekah. You know, here she is, this young virgin living here in this city and wondering one day when God would bring her husband to her. And this caravan comes from all the way across hundreds of miles away and says, you know what, from one day she's just going to get water for mom. The next day it's like, you know what, God has said you're supposed to be the bride of this person that lives hundreds of miles away. How her mind must have been racing. You know, what's he like? Is he young or is he old? You know, is he handsome or is he not so handsome? Does he like to take walks or is he a homebody? I mean, what's going on? But see, here's what Rebekah knew in her heart, and this is going to bear out later. If God's hand is in it, it will be perfect. See, because she saw God's hand. She realized by the prayer and by all that was going on that God's hand was in this, and we're going to see that this shows that Rebekah was also a woman of faith. Because although she didn't have all the details, she trusted in the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that if some man comes up to you young ladies and says, hey, God's told me we're supposed to get married, that means you are. He may be a man of faith, but you may not be at that particular situation. But the point is that, you know what? All of us face situations in our life, don't we, where God is going to call us to take a step of faith in something we don't understand, but we know God's hand is in it. And when we know God's hand is in it, we need to step forward and take a step of faith and say, God, I don't understand this. This is territory I've never been in before, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm trusting you, and here I go. And that was the type of woman that Rebekah was. And again, showing more character and more quality that Eliezer would be looking for and that Isaac would be looking for in a godly bride. So, but notice he says, send me away, I'm ready to get going. But her brother and her mother said, you know, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10, and after that she may go. Now, I don't know why necessarily 10, but the point is they're buying time. I mean, you have to realize this was a big decision for the family. One day you're just having normal life. The next day you realize you're sending your daughter off to the mission field and maybe never see her again. And yet if God makes it clear that it's the Lord, we're not to stand in the way, are we, parents? We're to say, the Lord's will be done. But I can also see the heart that would say, let her stay a little while. What if we never see her again? And you know, this was a long way away, 400 or 500 miles away. Abraham had moved and they'd never seen Abraham again. Probably they would never see Rebecca again. And so they're going, let us at least spend some time with Rebecca. You know, we don't want to just lose her that quickly. Let this mull over in our mind. But I love what he answered again, and he did the right thing. Verse 56, he said to them, do not hinder me. Since the Lord has prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. In other words, I know you want to be with your daughter, but this is God. And now that we know that it's God's will and we all agree, it's time to get on with it. What a lesson there is in that for us. You see, when we know that it's God's will for our life, whatever it might be, marriage or anything else, the bottom line is once we recognize it's the Lord, we don't need to delay. We need to get moving and saying, God, now's the time. You've opened the doors, Lord. You've given the call, and now it's time to move forward. And that's exactly what he's doing here. You know, and again, remember this. Whenever God tells you it's time to move, there are always going to be those voices who will be telling you to wait. And now God has told them it's time to move, and they're saying, you know, just a little bit longer. Wait just a little bit longer. You know, some of you, the Holy Spirit may be working in your heart saying, you know what? Right now is the time that you need to give your heart to Jesus Christ. You hear me speaking to you. You hear what the pastor's saying. You need to make a commitment. You know that I want a bride for my son. I'm drawing you right now to myself. And yet the voices in your head are saying, you know, why don't you just wait a little while? Kind of mull this over and think about it. Nonsense. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And if you know that God's Spirit is speaking to you, you need to act today. And why is that? Because over time, our mind can be changed by those voices that we hear. And so when we know it's God and we know it's right, we need to move forward at that moment. So notice they said, well, we'll call the young woman and ask her personally. You know, maybe she'll not be quite ready to go so quickly. I think they're trying to buy time, but we're going to see the character and quality of Rebecca in trusting in God and seeing the hand of God in this. Then they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? And I'm sure there was a hush in the room as they all eyes were on Rebecca. And she said, I will go. Yes. Music to Eliezer's ears. Now all the obstacles are gone. It's time to get moving. And we see again the heart of Rebecca here, clearly seeing God's will and again showing her character to submit to the will of God, even though she doesn't know what lies ahead. You know what? We may not know what lies ahead, but here's what we do know. What we do know is this: God knows what lies ahead. And because God knows what lies ahead, if we know it's the Lord, we can rest. And there's excitement in that. Notice it says, so they went away. Others sent Rebecca away, their sister and her nurse, and that was typical to send the nurse with them to help to take care of of Rebecca as well as the family needs, and Abraham's servant and his men. So they all go away, and they blessed Rebecca and said to her, and notice this, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of 10,000s. Again, lots of kids and lots of descendants. And may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. This indeed came true, as indeed her descendants, as she had Jacob, became the descendants of Israel and the nation of Israel. And so the very blessing they're pronouncing indeed comes to pass. And notice then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now what an adventurous journey. It doesn't tell us anything now until they get there.
Well, our time at the table of God's Word has come to a close for today. But what are some things you gained from what you heard? The book of Genesis gets the ball rolling, causing you to think about all kinds of big picture questions, things related to the creation of the world, why God would allow a worldwide flood, and why were the Israelites his chosen people? These are all good things to think about and to dig further in God's Word. But our hope is that what you heard today has helped solidify some things that might have been in question before. God was specific in how he brought things about. None of it was accidental or haphazard. As you listen through this series, we trust that you'll come to some great realizations about who God is and what he's done and is doing. To listen to this message again or share with a friend, go to thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Simply click on the Come to the Table tab. If you have some questions about what you heard today, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the Questions and Comments link on our website or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. 1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We encourage you to stay grounded in God's Word, allowing Jesus to grow you and draw you closer to Him daily, being willing to go where He's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared another teaching here in the book of Genesis. So join us again the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.